And now, from the heart of Cass County in Logansport, Indiana's Best Radio presents the following local sports special.
Welcome to the Indianapolis Colts with Ed Nason. A special look inside the Colts and a peek behind the curtain, if you will. Special guest today, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis star. Do they call you the beat reporter there? I don't know if they still use that or not.
No, they do not. They do not.
Very good. I looked at some of the bio. Obviously, cross paths there at the media center with the Colts, and I looked a little bit of you up, and it looks like you Hawaiian born.
Yeah, just my dad was in Vietnam, and he was stationed over there before he went to serve in Vietnam. So I happened to be born. So I lived 2 years in Hawaii, and the worst 2 years to live because I don't have any memories of it. That's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I looked that up, and I you know, you're not your traditional Hawaiian born.
No, I don't look like that. And I've lived in a lot of places, mainly in the South, but I'm afraid I've lost most of my accent, maybe all of it. I can't tell, but
no,
I used to have a big, thick one that got made fun of, and I like that,
yeah.
But I don't have it anymore.
I see. And then, obviously, CBS Sports.
Yeah, every job I've ever had pretty much every job I've ever had, somebody called me and said, hey, we have an opening. I've chased a few jobs in my life and not gotten them, but they called me. It was in the early days of the Internet, maybe the early days of CBS anyway, and I'd never heard of them. I mean, I'd heard of CBS, but they weren't CBS. It was called CBSSportsLine.com. Actually, it was just called Sportsline. There wasn't even a CBS on there. It was called Sportsline.com. I'd never heard of them. And I remember telling my wife at the time, because I was at the Charlotte Observer, I remember thinking, you know, a newspaper will always be around. I'm not sure this Internet, you know, I don't know if it'll always be around.
Sure.
And, you know, that was, you know, stupid to say, because 15 years later, newspapers are... Some of them have died, and
yeah.
The rest of them are struggling, and, of course, the Internet is the place to be. So, luckily, I took that job,
yeah.
Even though I'd never heard of them.
On the Colts side there, obviously, they've struggled the last couple of years, 8-8, and they've kind of really, even though the record still is 8-8, they've really, really obviously took a couple steps back. In the South, a lot of individuals keep saying that the South is the weakest. There's a couple other divisions I believe is a little weaker as Texas. If they can just get a quarterback, they are all the pieces are in play there. Tennessee's up and coming. Jags are the Jags.
And right.
And then you have the Colts that don't really have an identity per se.
Yeah, but I feel like the AFC South – you know, if it was a stock, you'd want to buy it because it's on the rise, or at least ought to be on the rise. And this past season seemed like it might be a year kind of had a breakout, but Brock Osweiler happened to Houston, and they won games despite not having a very good quarterback. And until the AFC South does something, until besides the Colts, you know, 3 years ago having a really good season, I'm just not going to believe in it. I need to see somebody do something in this division. And furthermore, I need to see an 8-8 team, you know, go into the final weekend at 7, you know, and not have a chance at winning the division. I mean, the division is it's balanced, but it's balanced because none of them are great. You know,
sure.
It's balanced because they're all kind of mediocre. I'm not sure what divisions are worse out there. There might be, but the AFC South is just, I mean, at best mediocre. At best, I mean, which might be a step up because before mediocre, it was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Tennessee has made some pretty good picks in the last couple of drafts, and then you have the defensive presence now, where Pryor did not, and obviously the running back going there has quite a bit. DeMarco doing what he does. He kind of fell off the, as most people do. He used to go to Washington to die, boy, it seems like you go to Philadelphia now, and your career is kind of over. But obviously, the Colts got the new GM, and boy, that was kind of late. I'm kind of curious on your take on. I was surprised that they made a decision personally that far in advance with the draft being so darn close. But pick looks pretty good.
It seemed like if you're going to make a decision, you're going to fire somebody or not when the season ends. And so it seemed like, okay, I guess Chuck's going to stick around, and so is Grigson. And then the news comes out that they were swinging for the fences for Peyton and John Gruden. Got neither one of those, so okay, I guess, you know, you're not going to get anybody. You're going to stand pat. And then all of a sudden, boom, they go ahead and fire Grigson anyway.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the ultimate result, somebody getting fired, wasn't that big of a shock, I guess. But how late it happened, yeah, that was a surprise. This guy, Chris Ballard, he is very impressive. That doesn't mean he's going to be really good as a GM. You know, everybody who's ever been a GM once upon a time wasn't. You know, their first GM job was their first. So it's not like you have to be a GM to be a good one. I mean, clearly you don't.
Sure.
But until you have been a GM, there's really no way to know for sure. There's just no guarantees. It doesn't matter that you were the assistant GM to somebody who else was really good. Mm-hmm. If that guy was carrying you. Like, look at New England. This is about coaching now, but you know, look at all the top assistants that got jobs because it looked good, their team was good, they won a lot of games, and so we're going to bring that guy over here. Well, Josh McDaniels flopped, and Romeo Crennel keeps flopping, and Charlie Weiss flopped, and sometimes the number two guy just isn't nearly as good as it seems because number one is that good. I don't think that's the case with Chris Ballard, and John Dorsey being great at Kansas City, I don't think. I think Chris Ballard will be just fine, but until he shows us he's just fine, there's no way to know.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously we get some press releases on him. Also did a little research. He's definitely been behind quite a bit of good picks, if you will. But as you said, it really, really, really hard to put a handle on. We locally here, excuse me, we have a youngster that was on the that was a guard for the Colts, and he was on the practice squad, then he was on the team, he was off the team, so on and so forth. And Kit O'Brien, I don't know if you're familiar with.
Oh, sure.
Kit at all. He's a super nice guy in a small city, so obviously the city got behind. But you know, interviewing him and talking to him a little bit on the side there, he has said multiple times that Mathis, as well as Trent Cole, came up to him in the weight room, locker room, so forth, that they obviously can't believe that he's not starting there, if not somewhere else. But just kind of goes to show that Ballard has a lot on his plate the first year, and it'll be interesting what transition kind of comes into play there.
You know, Kit O'Brien it represents to me a really interesting part of life in the NFL, and that's the transactions that happen daily that don't get much attention because it's this guy's been released, this guy's been added to the taxi squad, he's been activated, now he's back in the practice squad, now he's released again. Mm-hmm. The reason I know Kit O'Brien's name, although he's never played in a game, I don't think, is because he's always on that list. I mean, the Colts make a move that involved Kit O'Brien, it seems like 5 or 10 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Never to make him a starter, but always just to kind of shuffle him around. They're shuffling cards in their deck, and he's one of the cards they shuffle a lot. And I've always often wondered, a guy like Kit, does he kind of know ahead of time when you're about to be out of work, do they tell you, we got to release you because it's a numbers game, but just, you know, keep doing your sit-ups at home because we're going to bring you back in 3 days? Or does every time he gets released, does he think, is this the end of the road? That, I mean, how horrible if that's the case to think your career's over 10 times a year.
Yeah, he's pretty positive, as most of those guys are at that level. Nevertheless, he does state that when they do tell him, obviously the scouts are the ones that make the call, and they always tell him to hang tight. Like you said, it is a numbers game is what he's telling us. However, the interesting side on that is it's amazing that when I watch some of his tape, he really is a little bit better than some of the starters that they have there. Obviously, he's going against the second and third string there in the preseason. But his footwork, as I told him, his footwork and his hands on an offensive line, it's hard to teach a lot of that type of stuff, as well as big. But, boy, he's just got it all. And I think a lot of that is his his agent per se, but I don't know. I just really surprised he hadn't gone anywhere. But again, that is the life of a football player. Thankfully, he's only got 1 year in. So with all the on and off, so obviously the community keeps their fingers crossed on. But
right,
yeah. Now Chris Ballard, there. What do you think he's going to do with coach the following year?
He talked him up really big the day he was hired, saying, you know, the guy's won 49, Pagano's won 49 games in 5 years, and that's just really hard to do, and he's a fine coach and all this. He said all the right things, knowing that Pagano was going to be his coach this year coming up.
Sure.
But Jim Irsay, the owner, had made it clear several times, even before Ballard was hired, but the day he fired Grigson, he made it clear that we're going to bring in somebody, and he said Chuck's going to be our coach in 2017, and it turns out that's right. He said Chuck's our coach in 2017, but the new GM will, you know, be able to evaluate him. And Irsay, so Irsay's given Ballard the green light, it sounds like, to do whatever he wants with the coach after 2017. So it sounds to me like Pagano's coaching for his job.
Sure.
And the question is what does Ballard need to see to keep him? You know, is there a certain number of wins or a certain level you reach, or just maybe even a feel? Maybe even the Colts have a bad year, but he just looks at Pagano and thinks, you're not the reason we had a bad year. We're going to keep you. I don't know. But there were, when Ballard was linked to the Colts GM job for about, I don't know, 12 hours until it was official, it was kind of out there. Some national reporters were reporting that Ballard was going to be hired. And a couple of them, one of them, the guy from CBS, Jason Lockenfora, came out and said, Ballard's the GM, and he's going to bring with him Kansas City special teams coach Dave Taub as head coach. And another place or two cited that he was the new coach and was thinking about bringing Dave Taub. So, you know, while that obviously didn't come true, Taub is not the head coach, Pagano is, it seems that Ballard clearly has a guy in mind if Pagano doesn't work out. So, I think my guess is this season's not going to go good enough for Pagano to stay, but you just can't. I mean, total guess, and I have no idea.
Yeah, well, as we spoke off air there, that obviously the coach does a lot for our foundation. It's really hard to be critical. However, I can tell you on a personal level, a great, great guy, but obviously great guys don't get you the win, don't fill the seats, don't get you to the Super Bowl. He's changed quite a bit. I think cancer changed him quite a bit as prior to, obviously it was a very short, gosh, I think it was only, three or four games prior to being diagnosed. He just really seemed a lot different. And I obviously, when you have a tragic thing like that, individuals change. But I personally am surprised that he's still there as the laid back that he is. Professional athletes obviously don't always need a hoorah. But it seems like no matter who you are, a good talk does a lot, especially in the athletes wise. But he definitely has changed. I really don't think he's the guy to go. But as you said, it's rough to change. There's a lot of people that come with a change of a head coach.
Yeah, you said a talker doesn't. It's weird how it works in pro sports, how guys like Pagano, rah-rah guys, and another way to look at that is called a player's coach, I guess.
Sure.
They do well, and then over time their message wears out or whatever happens, and 3 or 4 years later they're gone, and whoever comes in is almost always the opposite. And then that guy, because he's, you know, it's a whole new look and a whole new sense of urgency and accountability, that guy kind of wins pretty good. And then after 3 or 4 years, you know, he wears out because he's just so hard on everybody, it just doesn't work anymore. And then you bring in another rah-rah guy. It's a cycle. You look around at the league, and in other sports too. You know, the Red Sox very famously went from Bobby Valentine to Francona. I mean, it happens all the time. We will see. If Pagano isn't back, I suspect the next coach, if it is Taub, is not going to be a rah-rah guy. But then again, if it is Taub, Ballard's had his eye on Taub since even before he got here, which means it's not about replacing Pagano with somebody not like Pagano. Ballard just likes Taub. But
sure.
I know for Pagano, it's so hard. I always find it difficult to say or write anything critical of him. And, you know, I don't have a foundation that he supports or anything like that, but he's obviously does wonderful things. I mean, wonderful things. And you just kind of feel like when you're attacking him or criticizing him, you're kind of running the risk of alienating everybody around here that he cares about and that care about him. And I understand that. So it's not a good situation. I mean, ideally what happens is he wins 13 games and goes to the Super Bowl every couple of years, and then everybody wins.
Yeah. No, very, very true. Winning solves all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. You spoke earlier about Peyton, and I was surprised that everybody kind of ran with I'm fortunate enough when I started covering the Colts, it was about 97, 90, 99, something that year. So I got able to see Peyton kind of grow up and got to know him a little bit. But knowing him, I was surprised that people ran with it, because a lot of people covered a lot longer than I did that kept saying that, you know, he's the guy. They're just looking to work out the details, this, that, and the other. I'm surprised that they ran with it. Is he's one of those types of guys that if everything isn't going to be just perfect, he's not going to kind of stamp his name on, if you will. And great guy, smart. He'd have to get a lot of people around him. But he just really, I don't think he's ready. I just don't really, and I think he doesn't believe he's ready for the GM. I think one or two years to probably, him and Polian are pretty good friends, to maybe put on your GM hat. But, you know, a great player doesn't always make a great GM. It's like taking your best salesperson and moving him up to CEO. It just doesn't work. But kind of synopsis on you really think he was thinking about, or
I don't know that he was really thinking about it. I do really think that Ursay went to him and tried to get him to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe so, given the fact that Peyton apparently didn't just tell him no right off the bat, because it did leak out. But you talk about the people that ran with it. I don't, you know, it's been a week or two, so I'm not really sure who all it was, but I know real people were running with the John Gruden stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was at least, you know, at the very least, running with the idea that he'd been offered the job. I mean, Adam Schefter went with that, and Ursay acted like that didn't happen, but I'm not sure I believe Ursay. I don't know who went with the Peyton thing beyond the level of, well, below, it was all beneath the level of established guys that you'll see in the press box. People are online, a blog here or there, a guy on Twitter here or there that have a Colts following and know the sport, know the team and all that, but aren't really established in the media. So those folks who are going with it, there's so much noise out there that you hear all that noise,
mm-hmm.
and somebody that you just kind of think that must be true, and you go with it. That's what I think happened.
Yeah. Well, obviously getting a lot of the PR emails and then kind of getting into the media side, you tend to obviously friend people and bounce things off. But the first time I got wind of it, it was a radio show of a local guy that used to be at the Star, and then local radio there that kind of threw it around and kind of jumped on it there. But yeah, I personally, I just kept hearing it. I just didn't believe that it was going to happen. But yeah, nevertheless, yep, there he is.
There's my cat. Sorry. I truly believe, and I think JMV, with the radio guy here in Indianapolis, was saying that they're talking to Peyton, they're trying to get him. And I believe that. I believe they mm-hmm. tried. I believe Ursay went after it. But whether or not Peyton was really seriously considering it or not, I don't know. But, you know, John Lynch just got hired by the 49ers.
I did see that, yeah.
Now, granted, he's been out of the game for 5 or 6 years, and so he's kind of had time to transition from player to watching the whole league overall. And now, you know, I think he probably has a better chance. Well, I think a break gives you a better chance. Peyton, the thing about Peyton is that he's not just a former player. He's not just a former great player. He's known as a guy as there's ever been in the league. So he's not just a normal player retiring. I mean, he's different than everybody else. He's smarter in some ways, football ways, than everybody else. So I think he'll be able to do it whenever he wants to do it. But I do think a year or two break between playing and transitioning is best for him. And I'm guessing that's what he decided too.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, one last thing here before we go and let you get back to your cat.
Who's on my lap right now, yeah.
Let's say Chris Ballard does do a pretty good job, as well as Coach Pagano, perfect storm here, does pretty well as well. This first year, you think Pagano will stick around, or do you think Ballard has an idea who he's going to bring and that's who it is and just find a way to get him in?
History shows it can go different ways. It's not like for sure history does not show us that this never works out. The new GM always eventually gets his guy after a year. Just recently, look at Detroit and Jim Caldwell, Colts connection there. They changed GMs and then extended Jim Caldwell. Mm-hmm. So after a year, so you know Pagano is what I think he has shown is that when things are going well and he's got a pretty good team and things are going right, he can keep everybody focused, keep everybody light, and the ball will keep rolling. But if the team is not really good, he's not going to make them better. So I think it really depends. It's ironic, but Chris Ballard's ability to replace Pagano if he wants to runs contrary to Chris Ballard's ability to give this player, this team, a good makeover this offseason. You know, if he signs the right two or three free agents and drafts the right six or seven or ten, if he makes some trades, six or seven guys, and the Colts have a lot of wind in their sails entering the season, and Luck gets off to a good start and gets healthy, and those are all ifs, but they're all realistic ifs. You know, and the AFC South being what it is, a division that has a leader that doesn't have a quarterback, and not Texans, I can see them winning 11 games again, going to the playoffs, and then if Luck is hot, winning a playoff game or two there. So I can see that perfect storm you talk about, and it not being that big of a leap of faith to say this team's going to do pretty good and Pagano's going to come back. Now, nothing has happened yet to suggest that, and mainly the off-season additions haven't started yet. They've got to be good ones, but if they are, I can see him coming back. Otherwise, it appears that Chris Ballard's next head coach, wherever he hires a head coach, will be that special teams coach at Kansas City. There appears to be a connection there based on what the national reports were a few weeks ago. But those are reports. We'll see.
You bet. Lastly, we have to talk about old Pat. Did you see and Pat McAfee retiring? You think it was the injuries, or was he just ready to take another path?
I think more ready to take another path. I know he's had a couple surgeries lately and all that, and he mentioned that, and he is looking long term, and I get all that. But he led the – I mean, this was the best year he's ever had. He led the NFL in punting, so it's not like the injuries are making it tough to do his job. I mean, he wasn't third. I mean, he was first in the whole NFL. And punters have never kicked the ball as far as they have, so he's not leading the NFL in a down year. I mean, guys are getting close to averaging 50 a kick. 40 used to be the magic number. Sure. Now it's 50 as they're getting close. So, and he was at 49.5. But he is a different guy. I mean, Pat McAfee is – he's the Colt I've gotten to know the best.
Well,
in my 2.5 years here, and
I see you quite a bit at his locker, and I was gonna say it seems like you guys talk quite a bit. That's why I had to ask what you thought.
Yeah, I mean he's an interesting human being. He's a great punter, but there's only so many quotes I need from a punter in my story. So I'm not talking to him for work. I'm just talking to him because he's a neat guy. But he cares so much about things outside of football. Right now, I mean, he does more to raise money for U.S. veterans, military veterans, than, I mean, almost anybody I've ever seen. It's almost like an unquenchable thirst he has to raise money for veterans. That matters to him. His family, his parents, his brother, making sure they're in a good position. And not a good position, that doesn't mean so McAfee's rich as a punter and sure. gives them money. He's empowering them to own businesses or have jobs or whatever. I mean, they matter to him a great deal. He's a different guy. He always talks about, and to me privately and publicly too, he wants to put smiles on people's faces. I mean, he's a showman. And
yeah,
punting is, he's been doing it. But he can do it in different ways now, he thinks. So I think this retirement of his is a lot more than just his knees being sore.
You think he's going to look back and think, I should have gave it two more years?
Yeah, I do. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does. You know, I can see him doing, you know, you're only old enough to play football for X number of years.
Sure.
But you're old enough to be funny or nice or a fundraiser. You can do that your whole life. I can see in a couple of years, just he's a competitive guy. I can see, and this is not, you know, I've told you I talked to Pat some, but he hadn't told me this. I don't know this at all. This is just a guess, but I can see in a couple of years he starts to wonder, what have I done? I want to go back. I can see that, but then again, it probably depends on, much like Pagano's future depends on how does this year go and how does Chris Ballard's acquisitions go. I think McAfee's future depends also on how do his first couple of months, even first year or two, off the field go. If he's if he's really making the impact he wants to make off the field, then he doesn't come back.
Yeah, and I was really surprised that he did. I don't know him nearly as good as you do. However, every kind of conversation we've had, he's always wanted to do both. He wanted to punt and he wanted to do field goals, and that was his passion on the field. So I was really surprised to see him with Vinatieri, the ageless wonder, get to a certain age. I was really surprised to see him go. But
yeah, amazing. If you'd go back 3-4 years, and when Vinatieri and McAfee are here and very good, and you'd look down the road and say, yeah, one of these guys is going to retire after 2016, and you'd say, first of all, Adam Vinatieri kicked until he was 44. He lasted that long. Well, clearly he's the one that's going to retire after 16. No, he's 44 and he's looking to 17.
Yeah.
McAfee's 29 and he's out. It just you can't predict really interesting different guys. And both of those guys are very interesting and different guys.
You bet. Well, I definitely appreciate your time today, my friend. And obviously we spoke off air, and you're needing a story to lose readers, so I'll give you a call wanting to do an interview off air as well. But
you're an interest like McAfee and Vinatieri, you're an interesting and different guy also, and you have a story to tell that people need to hear, and I know people there have heard it, but people around here need to hear it, and so I'm gonna tell that story maybe this summer, but I'm gonna tell it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm interesting as those guys, but you bet. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Ed, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks. Make sure and join us next time for Colts Interviews and Discussions. I am Ed Nason, and as always, go Colts.